Certainly an exciting day for the Edmonton Oilers to acquire Duncan Keith.
Just felt like the Edmonton Oilers right now, it was a good fit, a great fit. Excited to start this new chapter of my career and try to win a cup in Edmonton.
It's always been my goal to be able to stay in Edmonton, and it's just what I've wanted. I've loved my time in Edmonton so far. The team is progressing the way we want it to, and I want to be a part of that. And obviously, the biggest reason I want to stay is I want to win at Edmonton.
Here's McCabe, all the way, scores!
Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for this Thursday, December 8th. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260, the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. You can connect with me on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. And boy, oh boy, do we have to get to another Oiler loss here. Fans were livid last night on the post-game show. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Primal Origin Oils. Got beard? Get Primal. Stop the itch and make your beard look healthy and groomed. Check out PrimalOriginOils.com to learn more about their full line of beard care products. Use the code LOCKEDON for a 20% discount at checkout. Let's get to the game as the Oilers drop another one, 4-1 to the Minnesota Wild. Now that's four straight going back to pre-COVID times. Cam Talbot was spectacular in this one. So much for my guaranteed pick. Hey, yeah, that's why you don't listen to Hernan, the man, when it comes to picking teams to win the games. That was not good. Well, let's get into it. It's their third straight loss. They're reeling right now. They're not scoring a lot, not getting the saves. But 1-11 in the Edmonton Oilers get scored on again right away. Like 1-11 in on a power play to the 29th ranked power play. Darnell Nurse, Mikko Koskinen, what the hell are they doing on that? It was terrible, terrible. Joel Eriksson X picks it off the backboard, is able to slide it in through Nurse behind Koskinen. That just can't happen. And for the 15th time this season, they give up the first goal. And since November, the 12th time. Like, this is getting beyond ridiculous. You're not, and Mikko Koskinen settles down. Sure, he does, but you're always chasing the game. This is not a recipe for success. Then Marcus Foligno at 7:14. It's a 3-on-3 play. 3-on-3. What the hell is Chris Russell doing? It's like he just let him go. Boom, it's in the back of the net. Great pass by Dumba. The Oilers are down to nothing. But you know what? The Oilers didn't play bad in that first period. I truly don't think they played bad. Did they deserve to be down to nothing? Yeah, because Russell made a mistake. And then Koskinen and Nurse, whoever you want to put more blame on, they screwed up that first goal. Nothing else you can say. On to the second period. The Oilers were all over them. They were much better. Jesse Puljujarvi gets him back in 6 minutes in from McDavid and Hyman for his eighth. The Oilers are rolling. They're creating opportunities. They're playing well for the first time in three games. Boom. You go to the third period, and another breakdown. Victor Rask, hell of a pass by Jonas Brodin. Can't blame Koskinen on that one. And I'm not blaming him for the second one. I'm blaming Chris Russell. The game's 3-1. You knew the Oilers weren't coming back. And then Dmitry freaking Kulikov, are you kidding me? On a breakaway at 14:57 of the third. And he dekes Mikko out of his jock, and it's 4-1. And it's like, let's get ready. It's going to be terrible on the post. Not terrible. I shouldn't say that. It's fun. But people were very upset. But you lose 4-1, and I know the Oilers are pressing in that instance, so whatever. It is what it is. But special teams has dried up. PK was 1-for-2. The power play was 0-for-5. The power play looked awful. All they keep doing is looking for that Draisaitl cross feed. He can one-time it. And if that play's not there, and NHL teams are smart, because they are, they're taking that away, and then the Oilers don't have a plan. Nuge doesn't shoot. The point guys, whether it's Nurse or Barry, don't shoot. And we saw Nurse more than Barry. And then Dave Tippett wasn't happy with his power play, so he just throws out his third line, which makes no sense to me. You still have good players on this team. You have Yamamoto. You have Jesse Puljujarvi. Hell, throw McLeod out there with him if you want, or Cassian or Fogel. I don't care. But you're just throwing out your third line. You're pretty much in a third line that doesn't score. So what are we doing? What are we doing here? The Edmonton Oilers are struggling 5-on-5. Outside of McDavid and Draisaitl, I'm going to throw Hyman in there. And to a certain extent, Jesse Puljujarvi. But you still need more from Jesse. You still need more from Nugent Hopkins. You still need more from Yamamoto. Those three guys you need more from. They need to help the two big dogs on this team. The third line, I'd go away from it. I'd try something different because that's not. And the fourth line, they don't play a lot, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But Derek Ryan, I don't know what he's doing out there. Devin Shore was just okay. Sevier is just okay. But you're not getting anything. So your bottom six not giving you anything. They're leaking. Even though McDavid's line got scored on twice, but you know what I'm saying. Like, the bottom six is leaking, and they're not giving you anything. And Yamo's, for me, has played well all season, and I know people like to pick on him, and they want to get rid of him and all that, and he's not going to be a 20, 25 goal scorer. He's just not. I don't think he is. I think he's going to be a solid guy. He's probably better suited top nine guy than a top six guy, but right now there's no better option than Yamamoto on that second. There's not. And don't say Benson, and don't say Cassian, because they're not better off. I think Yamamoto's playing fine, but there's not enough production there. Nuge, he can't be sitting at two goals on December 7th. You can't. He has to. And he plays in every situation. So I'm not making excuses for him anymore. And Jesse, who's been better than I think, I mean, he's produced, he's got his 8th goal tonight, but have you noticed he's missing a lot of those setups right in front of the net in that slot area? Tonight he finally finished, but he had one in the first where he completely missed the net. So you need more from everyone, and fair. The defense has taken a hit. Chris Russell's playing higher up, and he's struggling mightily. Marcus Nemelainen, he's been good. People are impressed with his hitting and all that, but he's raw, man. Like, he's a raw player. He's just into his career in the NHL. He's played, what, three, four games? Philip Broberg is struggling mightily. He's going to be a player, but he's not ready. So, yeah, hopefully CeCe's back on Thursday. Hopefully Keith returns soon, because this defense, it was gonna affect you at one point. They started off pretty good playing with this makeshift decor. Got Nurse back, but now they're struggling. Let's just call it how it is. Russell and Broberg shouldn't be a pairing. They shouldn't, because they were bad. So you give them a break on that in that end, because you have two guys that are very raw, and Russell playing way higher than he should. So you give them a little bit of a break there. But this team has got to figure it out 5-on-5, because now the special teams has gone dry and you're not getting anything. You have five goals in your last three games. You had the opportunities today. Again, they played a really good 40 minutes. They get one of those on the power play. It's a different game. A different game. And this courtesy of Dustin Nielsen. Last three games, save percentage, 882, 875. 8-4-6. Not good enough. And you're only scoring 5 goals in those 3 games? Not good enough. And as good as McDavid and Draisaitl are, as good as they are, you need secondary scoring. And the Oilers are not getting. I don't know what you do Thursday. The players are off today. And I don't know what you do tomorrow with the lineup. I truly don't. Because if I see that third line and that fourth line again, I don't know, man. You got to try something different. It's not working. It's not working. So the Oilers fall for the third straight game. They now sit with a record of, get it for you here right away. They're now third in the Pacific Division, but they do have 3 games in hand. Anaheim, and they're at 32 points. They're 16-8. Now, they got some room here. They got some wiggle room, sure. But, yeah, giving up the first goal this early, that early in the game, you have to stop that. You have to stop that. We're going to hear clip from Zach Kassian coming up in the second segment, post-game in the third segment. We'll maybe get to some Dave Tippett as well. But Matty Kassian joined us last night on the post-game show, and he's concerned about their starts. And he used the word, it was flabbergasting, how the Oilers continue to get scored on first and early in the game. Early in the game. So we'll get to all that. Oh, and we'll also get to, he also had another thing that was really concerning about the players and their post-game media avails. We'll get to all that coming up next here on the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. Got beard? Get primal. You heard me right. Got beard? Get primal. If you or someone you care about has a beard, it needs to get primal. Maybe you're that guy who has never considered the benefits of treating your beard with product. Primal Origin Oils will stop the itch and make your beard look healthy and groomed. Their goal is to help others look good and live healthier lives through the use of natural oils. The products are free from harmful synthetic ingredients and with low impact on our planet. Primal Origin Oils makes balms, oils, and whipped butter that are renowned as the best feel-in beard products available. Combo kits make a great holiday gift, and if you're shopping for yourself, you'll be glad you did. Most companies focus on fragrance first, and that leads to a product that does not feel good on the skin. We took a step back and focused on the ingredients first to ensure a product that feels great and still smells fantastic. We know that every company claims to have the best, but Primal Origin Oils challenge you to compare their ingredients and feel-in beard to the other companies you've used. We promise you will see and feel the difference. Remember, the code LOCKEDON gets you 20% off at PrimalOriginOils.com. Use the code LOCKEDON at checkout for 20% off. PrimalOriginOils.com. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar or even better than a candy bar, Built Bar, filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. So many flavors, you'll have a hard time choosing. Will you have raspberry or mint brownie, cherry or double chocolate, cookies and cream, or peanut butter brownie? Built Bar gives you that extra feel you need to bust down the mall doors and battle all the holiday shoppers. Or if you're just standing in endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep you going. So throw one in your jacket or purse. You never know when you're going to need it. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Yeah, I was a little fired up there in that opening. My guarantee went out the window last night, a minute in, because you're like, holy smoke, that's a good team over there. I mean, outside of Kirill the Thrill, I mean, they got a bunch of guys that just worked their butts off. And Cam Talbot was really good. Give him credit. He was fantastic on the night. He made 38 saves on the night, and a lot of good ones too. So this team is legit. They won their seventh straight. Now the Oilers get Boston on Thursday, Carolina on Saturday. Two very, very tough teams. And just want to throw best wishes from the Locked On Oilers podcast. I know all the fans that listen to this podcast as well for J.J. Kyra, who took just a scary hit from Jacob Trouba last night. He was stretchered off. He was knocked out. A guy that's dealt with concussions. We saw two last year here with the Oilers, so we wish him all the best. By all accounts, he was alert and responsive there in the Chicago hospital, so we'll see what happens. But he's going to be out, I would say, long-term, and it's getting concerning for JJ. There's too many concussions in a short span of time, so we wish him all the best. Let's get to a little bit of the post-game last night. This is what Zach Cassian had to say about his team's game.
We did things better. I don't think we deserved the outcome in the first period, but... hey, that's the way hockey is sometimes. I think we felt we could have won the game probably until halfway through the third. They got that one, and then we're chasing it. Tough third period for us, thinking especially we thought we played a pretty good game for the most part. But hey, like you've seen this year, you play like shit, you win some games, you play good, you lose some games. At the end of the day, it matters about 2 points, and we didn't get them tonight.
So... you know, you've lost three in a row now. You're in the middle of a tough homestand with some really good teams coming in here. You know, I guess what would be the state of the team? What's the state of concern with how this team's playing right now?
Well, there's no panic. I think we need to get a little more urgent, but we're not going to go 82-0. There's a lot of good hockey teams that face adversity. To be honest, I think it'll be good for us. It happens to every team. I think it's good for us. We got off to a hot start. We're getting points when maybe we didn't deserve it, but our record speaks for itself. But at the end of the day, now we're in a little bit of a slump here, and with good teams coming in, I think it's a good chance for us to grab a hold of it here and be ready for Boston.
Okay, and this is where I want to go with. Matty Cassian on TSN 1260 joined us last night, and he said what was concerning for him was the post-game interviews, that the players continue to be okay with the game, like with how they're playing. Like, you heard Cassian there, and listen, the players are not going to come out and be like, we suck and this guy sucked. No, of course not. We all know that. But it's okay to be pissed off. It's okay to be pissed off and say, we need to be better. We need to do this. We need to do that. We can't keep starting like this. It's ridiculous. Like, just once, I would love to hear that. But they're sitting there saying, well, we played well. You know, we had our legs. You know, it's an improvement. You know, we'll turn this around and blah, blah, blah. Like, don't you just want to see some emotion from anyone at one point? Because you're definitely not getting it on the ice. And that's legit. How much grit, physicality, emotion did you see last? We had a text come in. I can't remember who sent it into the postgame show saying, did you guys see any scrums? Did you see the Oilers piss off the Minnesota Wild? Did you see any physicality? They marked him down with 23 hits. I don't know where the hell they got the Oilers with 23 hits in this. The Oilers, even if you're losing, show something. Show some emotion that you're pissed off. But you don't show it on the ice, then you bring it into your post-game comments, and you're just like, but we're good. We're just going through a rough patch. And maybe it is just a rough patch. I'm not sitting here saying this team is terrible, and they're gonna fall to 16-16 and lose 10 straight or whatever. I'm not saying that, but there are concerns and legitimate. The goaltending hasn't been good enough as of late. They were good to start, sure. Your special teams has gone dry. Your 5-on-5 is not good right now. You're getting not a lot from the bottom six. You're not getting a lot from the wingers outside of Hyman and again, to an extent, Jesse Puljujärvi. Nuji Amoroso not chipping in enough. And you're playing with Draisaitl on a consistent basis. You need to score more. I called out Dominic Cahoon last year for only having 9 goals, playing most of the season with Leon Draisaitl. I think Yamamoto and Nuji are more skilled. So there's no excuse for them either. So they need to be better. What's the answer here? And it's not firing the coach and bringing Jay Woodcroft up. Like, what's... It's an honest question. What do you think a new coach, and I can't even believe I'm saying this because I don't believe there's a coach coming or a coaching change. No, there's not. Unless this thing completely falls off the rail in a just a fantastic fashion. It's not happening. Well, for all those people that want Dave Tippett gone, like, what do you think a coach is going to come in and do? He's going to try casting with McDavid? Tippett's done that. He's going to try Yamamoto there? Tippett's done that. I mean, don't bring up Benson, Turris, or anyone else because that's not the answer, guys. Let the Oilers get healthy. See what the status of Mike Smith is. Hopefully Skinner and Koskinen can hold the fort, and they're going to turn this around. That's what I believe. But right now, yeah, they are stuck in a rut, and they're not playing, and they're not getting contributions from a lot of guys. So we break it down because they're on a 3-game losing streak. It can be 4 on Thursday. I mean, if you're the Boston Bruins coming in on Thursday, what's your strategy? In the first minute, you're in that zone, you're putting the puck on net. You are! What else are you going to do? You're going to hit everything, you're going to put puck on net, because pretty good chance you're going to score early, and then the Oilers will be chasing the game again. And if they're chasing the game again, it's not going to be good for Edmonton. It's not. What's frustrating you the most? I want to hear from you. Let me know on Twitter, at HernanTheMan, and at Log. What is the number one concern for you? Is it 5-on-5 scoring? Is it that the special teams has gone dry? Is it goaltending? Is it coaching? Is it the GM? But I want to hear from you. Let me know, because this is getting the Edmonton is getting feisty. We saw it last night on the postgame show, and we love the people. A lot of people had good sense of humor as well, but people are frustrated. People are frustrated with Koskinen. People are frustrated with certain players, with the way the coach is setting up his lines. And a lot of people are saying it's his system and that this team is it's just not good enough right now. And I think we need to pump the brakes. It is frustrating. But they're still 16 in it, and they got some wiggle room. McDavid said that, and you heard Cassian said that, like, we are what our record shows. Okay. Just once, I'd like to see a little bit of emotion and saying we need to start better. This is getting freaking ridiculous that they're down every game. Seattle, 49 seconds. LA, it was just over 2 minutes. Last night, it was over a minute. You need to stop, and you need to care more, and you need to practice harder. Got to be a lot of things, and a lot of things that have been said have been concerning. Like Dave Tippett a few days ago before the LA game, I knew my team wasn't going to show up because of the way they were practicing. How the hell does that happen? For the 12th time since November 1st, you gave up the first goal, and I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to go in and see how early on they get scored on, because outside of that Winnipeg game, it's always early, and that must be getting on the players. It must be draining on everyone. So something has to change. And I'm not sitting here saying these guys don't care and want to get out of it. Of course they do. But sometimes it's okay to express that. On the ice, off the ice. Coming up next, we'll get to Dave Tippett and maybe not play the full scrum, but just a few things he had to say. He also updated the status of CC and Keith, as they're not practicing today, but he updated it last night. So there's potential here for one of those guys to return. We'll hear all that next and get to some news from around the NHL. Here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. BetOnline has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code Locked On to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Last segment here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Are we calmed down after those first two segments? And apologies for all the rambling, but it's a lot of things not going right now for the Edmonton Oilers. Is it time to extremely panic? No, but I think you can be concerned. I'm going to go away from all the issues they've had here, and I know it's not just the last three games. They're 7-7 in their last 14, so this has been coming here for a bit. But let's look ahead, as the Oilers are coming off a 4-1 loss to the Minnesota Wild. And then the Oilers, through 40, played well, so I guess that's what you take the positivity out, but there's a lot of things going wrong right now. Hopefully they get Cody Ceci back and Duncan Keith sooner rather than later here. I'm going to give you some time to think. We're going to get to Dave Tippett right away, but I think the lines have gone stale here in Edmonton. I don't think there's a better option than Yamamoto now. I truly don't. But you have to change something there because it's just not working. And it's not saying he's playing terrible, but he hasn't been great either. He's been good, and he's a big part of the PK. And the effort level is always there with Yamamoto. That's something that's not ever going to change, I think, in Yamamoto's game. But it's not working with that dry line. And so what do you do, though? Like, because there's not a lot of options. Do you move Fogle into the top six, move into the right? Do you move Hyman to the right? So let's take the time while I play some post-game clips from Dave Tippett and see what we can come up with here after and go from there, because I don't think there's a lot of room. I don't think there's a lot of options. I don't know what you do, and we'll find out tomorrow on the morning skate ahead of the game with Boston. But, yeah, it's an interesting question. Defensively, hopefully CeCe's back. We will hear Dave Tippett update that as well. But let's get to Dave Tippett while you think about the lines you would like to see. Just first up, how did he characterize his team's game last night?
Way more energy tonight. We had way more energy in our legs, way more determination on battles, getting to the net. Didn't get rewarded for it, but that's a step in the right direction.
Of course, these comments are all from last night, guys. The Oilers are on an off day today. I don't know if Dave Tippett speaking, but we'll go with last night. Still fresh enough. Two goals off the rush last night. The Rask one was really nice. The second one where Foligno gets behind Russell, that's just unacceptable. It's 3-3 at the blue line, and you get beat, and you're down. So it's two goals off the rush, and here's Dave Tippett on what went wrong on those goals.
First one is just Rusty got on the wrong side of a guy. The fourth one is a poor forecheck, chasing the game on a poor forecheck, and Cast dives in, and then McLeod doesn't anticipate that guy's going to make the redirection, and the defenseman came right out of the zone. So there's a little bit of, there's some mistakes there that when we're chasing the game, those are the ones that bother you a little bit.
You know, teams go through ruts, even the good teams. Tampa Bay's lost three straight. You're seeing Calgary now drop two straight. There's teams that go through a rough patch. Now, for the Oilers, is this a rough patch? Is it the ebbs and flows of a season? Will they turn it around? Are they as good as their record? All those questions are up in the air. But here's Dave Tippett on just the situation right now, that it's just not happening for his team.
A little bit of ebbs and flows, but I think... Eventually, you don't have that many injuries on defense and catches up with you a little bit. That's a little bit of where we are right now. I thought we had lots of try in our game right now, but we made some mistakes that cost you, and I think they scored on just about every grade A chance they had tonight. And we didn't capitalize on chances we had. So that's the difference in the game.
Yeah, well, hopefully they can turn it around. They got a tough schedule coming up. Next three, Boston, Carolina, Toronto. So it's going to be interesting to see how this team responds. And I said it at the opening of this segment. I'm not going to go back to everything that's hampered this team because I think I've ranted on way too long. But here is, some positivity, I guess, for the Edmonton Oilers. Here's an update on Cody Ceci and Duncan Keith.
We'll see where he is. He's had no symptoms or anything for over a week now, so he's a healthy guy. He's got to have the test tomorrow, but him and Keith will both skate tomorrow, even though it's a day off, and Keith won't be, I don't think he'll be a player Thursday for sure, but we'll see where CeCe's at. He hasn't skated in 10 days, so we'll see.
Yeah, so hopefully CeCe can be back by Thursday, if not Saturday, and then Duncan Keith is getting closer, so we'll see what happens there. And we're talking about the lineup and what would you do. Yeah, it's interesting. I know here at 10, 12, 60, the inbox, we're getting a lot for Nuge to center the third line. I don't like that. I don't think Nuge it's beneficial to have him at center. I think he's better on the wing. It's tough, because I do like Hyman, McDavid, and Puljujarvi. I do. So what if you just kept that line the same? What if you move Fogle to the right with Draisaitl and Nuge? Is that an option? What do you do with your third line then and your fourth lines? Do you move a Shore up to that third line? Do you move a Sevier up, or do you just play Yamamoto on the third line with McLeod and Zach Cassian? I know we got a bunch of options at the inbox today on the lowdown show, and some had putting McLeod up with Draisaitl. I don't know about that either, and it's tough. It is, because with Yamamoto, is Zach Cassian with Draisaitl and Nuge going to make a difference? I highly doubt it. Zach Cassian has not been good as of late. You're not putting any of the guys on the fourth line or the two guys that are sitting out. I know a lot of people, well, not a lot. Some want to see Benton in the top six. Maybe that's a look. I have no idea, but I wouldn't go there. I know that. So for me, it's probably Fogle, or you throw Hyman in there and then move Fogle up to that top line, see what he can do with McDavid and Puljujarvi. You got to find something, because the dry line is not getting it done 5-on-5. They're just not scoring. It's not to say they're playing bad, but they're not scoring. The third line, McLeod, Fogle, and Cassian. I know Fogle had one good opportunity last night. McLeod's looking good. I mean, he's looking a lot better than he did in his first go-around. But they're not doing much. In the fourth line, it's whatever. Like, at this point, I don't even care who plays on it. Just hopefully at one point you get something from that group. But because right now you're not getting anything. So what would you do? Let me know on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. Send me some DMs with your lines and we'll read them up tomorrow and see if Dave Tippett agrees with you, if he goes with what you sent me. But let's also deal with a little bit of realistic, I guess. I mean, I guess anything's realistic, but don't throw Sevier on the top line, for example. But I could see McLeod. I know that was an option that one of our listeners sent us today, so I just don't see it happening. But do you move Nugent Hopkins to the third line? Do you move Fogle up into the top six? What do you do with Kaylor Yamamoto? Three things right there, all right? What do you do with Ryan Nugent Hopkins? Center of the third line or keep him on the left wing in the top six? What do you do with Warren Fogle? Keep him on the left wing on the third line or move him into the top six and see what he can do? And what do you do with Kaylor Yamamoto, who is probably not best suited to play on your third or fourth line? He got a look with McDavid, which is fine, but he's the mainstay on that second line, but that's not working either. So what do we do with those three players? Let me know, and let's have some fun with it. Not much going around the NHL today, guys, to report. J.J. Kyra is feeling better, but they're saying the timeline for his return is just far too soon to know. But he is at home, so that's good news after taking a very, very scary hit. We talked about it earlier on in the podcast. And we have the TSN trade board, trade bait board, sorry. And Ben Sherratt is number one, followed by Anton Khudobin, Jake DeBrusk, Mark Giordano, Thomas Hertl, Nick Leddy, Vitaly Kravtsov, Kevin Fiala, Phil Kessel, and Evander Kane. Those are your top 10 right now as of December. So TSN's trade bait board for the 2021-22 season. And I know Ben Sherratt's a name people are tossing around here a lot. So we'll wait and see how many of these guys end up getting moved anytime soon or closer to the deadline. Only four games on tap tonight. The only Canadian team is Vancouver, as they're going to be home to the Boston Bruins for the Oilers' next opponent. Vegas is home to the Stars. Colorado travels to MSG to take on the Rangers. And the Flyers look to snap that ugly losing streak as they're in New Jersey to take on the Devils. No Oilers audio, no Oilers practice today. We'll get back at it tomorrow. Maybe have a Boston guest on and tee up that game. It's a big one for the Edmonton Oilers, who are currently on a three-game losing streak. A lot of things going wrong. But don't be that guy. I do get a text saying that Draisaitl was a big problem. I know you're frustrated. I get it. Trust me. And the team's not playing well. And there's a lot of issues with this team. But Draisaitl is the least of your... Can he be better in the last three games? I think every player on this team could be better in the last three games. 100%. But, like, I think you're just reaching there. Reaching. The right side has been fine. McDavid's line got scored on twice. No one's talking about that, but you bring up Draisaitl. Why? Because he looks lazy when he skates. Let's not go there just yet. Let's not turn them. They're 16-8 and skewed by a legit power play early on that got them through and some key goaltending and all that. But they're still 16-8. Your record is your record. And they need to pick up a few more wins here on home. They've been really good. So we'll see what they can do against Boston. Boston in Vancouver tonight. Hopefully they go into overtime. So they're just a little extra tired. But like always, hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. Don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. Game day tomorrow, we'll break it all down for you. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Don't be too upset. Sports is fun. Enjoy it. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. The most intriguing part of tomorrow's game, guys, first 2 minutes. All right, for my producer Juanito on the Locked On Oilers podcast, I am Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll chat tomorrow.